10, but then this, just for connection, reads verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, for connection, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. They're not completely sinning. Now, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In Adam, or in Christ. Going over this, and just to bring in your summary, I don't care where a person is from, when he was born. I don't care what nationality he is. I don't care what race he is. I mean, I do care, but as God's children everywhere, the status of life, some people are born in royal households, some people are born in poverty, doesn't make any difference. We are ultimately either in Adam or in Christ. We're ultimately either the Son of God or the Son of the devil. Now, of course, at the beginning when God created Adam, he created him perfect. Perfect was having communion with God. But Adam had a will, because he could communicate freely with God, and he was made in the image of God. And so here he had a will, and then he willfully sinned, and he basically fell from the grace of God. He sinned, and it says, as one man, as Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Once he sinned, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. All evil followed upon the fall of Adam. He was our first father. So, on these two men, Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ, and these two men had the eternal destiny of every human being that ever lived on earth. Every human being lived on earth. People ask me questions, I tell them, I say, well, there's only one race, and that's the human race. And God created that race, the human race. And the human race, men and women, children, and all, doesn't make any difference, is directly accountable to God, our creator. The sin, we in Adam, when we die, we're going to go to hell. Like it? God said it. So, on these two men, and the eternal destiny. So evil followed, and when Adam fell or sinned, his nature became guilty and corrupted, and then of course also came to his children. David could say, I was conceived, my mother conceived me. When David was conceived, he was conceived in sin. Was born in iniquity by nature. But then it doesn't take long. I can speak about myself when I was a kid. I don't know how young I was, very, very young. I knew when I was sinning. I felt wise just to get out of trouble. I was sinning. Knowingly, willingly, I was sinning. So sin prevailed in the earth. And then, of course, in Romans 5:19, we read, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, that the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Oh, thank God for the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on our behalf. We remembered him. We remembered his death this morning. Oh, what a privilege it is to come. To look at the emblems, just look and look at the cross. Just imagine. There he is for you and me. Dying. So he may bring us back to him. Oh, what a privilege. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he became God, man became sin. He did never sin, and yet he, by dying for us, he became sin for us. His very soul was made sin, and also was sin. He paid the penalty for our sin, so we are justified in the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for God so loved us and gave his Son the propitiation, God's satisfying sacrifice for our sins. And so, in the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ, God might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Here we have those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, confess their sins. I have confessed my sins. Dr. John used to say at the age of 4 and a half, if he had died and he had gone to hell, I believe that that's true with me. At the age of 4 and a half, I knew I was a sinful kid. I knew it. My parents taught me, and my mother especially, and the church I used to go to, they weren't very sophisticated, very educated, but they could drive home the gospel. We see in the Gospels the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was justified through his blood. No other thing can save us. It's the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his death on our behalf. We have redemption through his blood. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal, eternal redemption for us. Once saved, always saved. But you better make sure, I better make sure that I am. Always, always sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sins. So we have. So Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So here we were so far off in Adam, sinning on the way to hell and lost eternity, but because of the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because of his death on my behalf, because of his soul being made an offering for my sins, because God, the sovereign God, the holy God, pouring his wrath that we deserve on his holy and righteous Son and God's Son, Lord Jesus to cry, my God, why? Made his sin for us to renew our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Here we have the gospel. But then, what is so amazing about that salvation is that it doesn't just stop there. We're not just delivered from hell. Thank God we are. And at one time, that's all I wanted to be. I used to have nightmares about hell. That people were dragging me, they were going to throw me, and here far away I could see the fire just blowing all over. And I was scared, I'm just trying, and they're just dragging me. Oh, just to be delivered from hell was all I wanted. But no, it's just the beginning. When we get saved, it's just the beginning of the wonderful life that we have in Christ Jesus. So now, we have the epistles. And we have all the apostles going and continuing this continued progress in Christ's teaching as explained by the apostles. And one of the wonderful things that I have brought before us, that is, But of him, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, of him are we in Christ Jesus. So, wow, what an honor of being brought to Christ and in Christ. Oh, yeah, Christ is in us. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But me being in Christ, that is so much more wonderful. And here's the difference. Christ in me, it depends on how much room I give him. How much room do I give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit can be grief if I don't give him any room. If I keep doing the things that this is God, he's grief. The Son of God in me, God in me. But me being in Christ, oh wow, what a secure and great, great honor to be in Christ Jesus. Now, when God looks at the believer, when God looks at me, at all of us, he sees us bound in Christ. Not just saved, brothers and sisters. Not just saved, and here is God at the distance, and here is Aaron going, shaking probably. I right with God? Is God going to strike me, or is he going to allow me to go in there and just basically show him his love above and below the mercy seat? And somehow, I am in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. And I have mentioned these things before. We are righteous in his righteousness. We're in Christ Jesus. We partake of everything that he partakes. We are sons of God in his sonship. Covered our righteousness because of his righteousness, and we're covered. We are sons of God as his sonship. Heirs with him of his inheritance. And we'll soon be glorified in his glory. Believers are in Christ, and Christ is us. We partake in all that he does and has and is. We dine with him, we live with him, we rule with him. And we are prepared. In him we are seated in heavenly places. That's our position. That's our position. So as sons, we are sons of God. So as sons, one of the privileges that the Lord has taught us is that we pray to, say, pray to our Father, thy Father will reward you, openly. You pray to him in secret if you want to, and your Father is going to reward you openly. Your Father knows what things you have need of. He's been talking about prayer. He wants us to pray. That's how we get things. How do we get things from God? By praying, by asking him. That's how we get things. You don't pray, you don't get. And you don't get because you pray amiss. You don't mean it. God, last thing, I've tried everything, and now I guess I'll just come to you. No. So, your Father knoweth the thing. And then he says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Can you imagine? Here is God, my Creator, the Father of all things, by the word of his power. He is the giver of life and breath and all things. And I could go to him like a father. Father. Oh, he says, and as many as received him, gave ye the power to become the sons of God. Sons of God. To call him Father. What closeness. And then, this other believer, that Jesus is in Christ, is born of God. Yes, this continued trust that we are born of God. We are the children of God. We could call him then, of course, following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he expresses his own relation to God with theirs. And here's what he says. I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Brothers and sisters, grab the gravity of this. Grab the gravity of this. The closeness of the relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. And we have all the privilege that he has before the earth. So now in John 14, 20, it says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Can we just grasp these wonderful truths that are being declared to you? And then here we have, and this is what I'm going to follow just now, from Matthew 2. And his children, the children of God, and we can call him Father, we are sons of God, we can call him not only Father, but Abba, Abba Father, Abba Father, precious Father, the most honorable Father, the greatest. Intimate, most intimate Father. And then it says, children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, it shall be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's Romans 8, 17. Romans 8, 17. In Galatians 4, verse 6, it says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The most precious title that you can give to a father. Abba, Father. Translated. Very, very dignified title. And we can own him as our own Father. So, of course, the apostle here, when he talks about inheritance being heirs, he is including male and female. Now, the only reason I say this, you see, God created all. He created Adam and he created Eve. But you see, in the Old Testament under the law, the inheritance only went to the male. And this is why I'm bringing this up. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the inheritance that we have in him is the male and female. It's going to be one flesh yet. But as in Greek, also we say before God. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The only reason a male is a male is because God made him a male. The only reason a female is a female is because God made me a female. I cannot be a female if female cannot be me. A female has a function, and I have my function. A man can never, never have a baby. He may wish he could be. God loves, God gives, God creates, and God wants all the heart. So here you have, well, all, one in Christ Jesus, and all of us are the children of God by faith in him. And all of us who are the children of God, not the children of the devil, not the children of Adam, they're going to die and go to hell. I'm just concentrating now on the wonderful things that we have as children of God. We are heirs of God. Heirs of God. God makes us heirs. And this word heirs is so extensive we can never, never, never cover all the things that he has us to do. But I'm going to cover some of them, as I said before. First of all, Christians are not heir, are not so by nature. We were born in sin. We were far, far away from God. We didn't have anything to do with him. So we had an evil nature, but thank God, because of the salvation that was provided for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we received him as our own personal Savior and Lord, we became sons of God, and we were called him Father, and we are heirs of God because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor do believers become such by the works of the law. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as our own personal Savior and Lord and becoming his children. So, God, in his rich grace, adopts us into his family when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and freely bestows the inheritance and deserve anything. We do not deserve a thing. We don't even deserve salvation. He paid it all. Propitiation, God pleasing sacrifice. He paid it all. He paid it all. Now, subjectively, as far as me, I'm concerned, I'm going to say something that is so humbling and moving. But I'm going to say it because it's there. Subjectively, we are heirs of God. We all knew. And this is what drove me to ask my grandson to have a son for his son. I am Jewish. Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is my Savior, but God, his God, is my God. His God is my God. We are heirs of himself. He not only makes us his heirs, but he himself is our inheritance and fortune. I was looking at these verses and I'm looking and I'm studying and studying and Lord, I can't say anything but just I love you. I just love you. Love! This everlasting love, just by grace of love. And he goes, I am here. And he is mine, he is my son. And because of that, we have free access to God. There's no veil as in times of the Old Testament. The veil is rent. There's no veil. There's no separation. There's no veil to separate me from my God. My God was right in our midst this morning where two or three are gathered together in my name to honor my name. There am I in the midst of them. Can you believe that, brothers and sisters? Well, it's hard to believe, but it's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. We are heirs of all things because we own him. And owning him, we own everything that's here. We share in his love. Infinite love. Love with everlasting love. In his grace. In his mercy, can you believe the Lord Jesus Christ would die for me when I was nailed him on the cross? When he was there because of my sin, can you believe that there's mercy and there's grace? His wisdom, his power, and truth, his faithfulness, not my will, but thine. If it is possible, it is possible. Nevertheless, not my will but thine. And I will is that I go to the cross, and there I suffer pain, Then again, I started thinking, my God is here. And indeed, every perfection of His is an aspiration. Everything is an aspiration. All things are ours. And I think about all those things that we've been doing for eternity to come. And all those who are in Adam and did not get saved are being in torments day and night, forever and ever, eternally in hell. The sign down south says hell is eternal. This says to them, what is it that makes a man not want to get saved? All things are hell, things present, things to come, everything, heaven and happiness, riches, glory, kingdom, eternal life, salvation, everything, everything, forever and ever. All are represented as things to be inherited. Everything. And I'm just studying this and thinking, Lord, why is it that all these things are true? Who am I? Who am I? When he sent these disciples, when others forsook him, he said, will you also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Did he ever have any idea what came with that eternal life of God? I still don't have the fullness of idea. I know what he has said. I know what he has said. Through Christ, we are heirs of God and of glory. And we're going to be with him, and we'll partake and enjoy the inheritance with him. And of course, it's secured because we are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? This does not in any way, of course, take away from the honor of Christ as heir of all things. But we're in Christ. He is heir of all things. And then, of course, since he is the firstborn among many brethren, so he has the preeminence. Our Lord and Savior is preeminent, the firstborn. That's the highest value. And we're in him. We are in his presence. We are in Christ. Firstborn, preeminent. But before we enjoy the inheritance with Christ, we may expect to suffer for him here on earth. We're suffering today. We're suffering today. It's very, very subtle. You go out and when somebody finds out you're a Christian, they may think that you're either dumb, or they don't know what they're doing, and you're not enjoying life to the fullness, I don't know what that is. Wickedness, maybe. The pleasures of sin, maybe. But here we are. We may be persecuted, and one day we may be physically persecuted. But then we partake of the virtue and the efficacy of his suffering. Yeah, what a wonderful privilege it is to do it. But only with vast differences between our suffering and suffering of the Lord Jesus. What was his? Well, his sufferings were attended with vast sense of wrath and terror. Yes, wrath of God, but pure hatred of people. The pure hatred they could not convince him of conviction of sin and guilt. They could mark him, stare at his face, stare at him. And all that time, as God, he had the power to completely destroy everyone. At the very time he was upholding all things by the word of his power. At the very time you have given him life and breath and all things, he could have taken that life away any moment. Daniel went to meet Belshazzar. And he read the sign. And he told Belshazzar, he said, the God in whose hand your breath is, you have not glorified. He's going to take it away. And yet Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, was giving him life to nail him, to lift him out, to ridicule him. He became the song of the drunkards, those all made. Brethren, this song was made in offering. Our soul would not do. That's why human beings were not never sacrificed in the sight of God. Yes, they were sacrificed, but that was out of God's will. Abraham thought he was going to sacrifice Isaac, but God said no. Who was sacrificed instead? A very precious animal. Perfect, first, and the most expensive, the most valuable. It had to be outside of human, sinful human family. And that typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why he was from the outside of the human family, and yet he became like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest who thinks pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, in that he himself has suffered. He suffered. He was made sin for us. And then he was made a curse. Curse of his every man that hangs upon his feet. And he paid the full penalty of us. And he could cry triumphantly, it is finished. It is finished. It's completed. I have glorified me on earth. I have finished the work which God gave it to me. Our suffering lying in the way of glory. We'll never suffer like this. And glory will be the end of all our suffering. So be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. Oh, what a, and his children, is it? Father, we can never, your words are so unfathomable for us with limited minds, and yet we appreciate reading of these wonderful verses that you have put before us. Your goodness, your grace, your mercy, how expansive. How wonderful. Love can never be